We're ready?
We're ready.
You're ready.
Okay. Like to call the meeting of the HCC Audit Committee. Order the first item on the agenda is the pool of the minutes of the meeting held March 29th, 2018. Any comments? Okay. If not, then I have a motion to approve. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And Chris Rolick, the agenda item.
Thank you, Henry. So today we have our reps from Ernst & Young. So Lou Roberts will present the 2018 audit plan, which will be starting up very soon as we come to the end of our fiscal year. Mary will then provide an update, the third quarter financial report, which will show continued growth and a really strong year so far. So she'll be able to provide that update. Ellen will do the debt report and the investment reports. And then Mary will do the credit risk exposure. And then Shirley has several audit reports for you as well.
Good afternoon. Great to be with you here this afternoon. I'm joined by Senior Manager Vincent Halloran. Many of you know Samantha. She is out on maternity leave, and I think this is the second child that she's timed such that she's out during this audit. So good timing on her perspective, but it also gives us a chance to put a fresh set of eyes from an executive level. As you might know, this is, I think, my third year going into it as the partner. So now we have another senior manager, and we constantly have new staff, but we do have continuity at the senior level. Scott, who was at one of these meetings, he will return as a senior. So there is consistency, but there's also change. So I think that's a very healthy balance. if I could turn your attention to slide 3, which summarizes our services. This is consistent with the prior years in which we express an opinion on the financial statements of HCC. We also perform a single audit, so there is a schedule of federal awards required by the uniform guidance. And then in accordance with the PAAA Act, we also issue a report on the schedule of investments for HCC. And to the extent that there are any management letter recommendations or if there were any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, we would have separate communications to the audit committee and the board. And then one of the other services that we do, which is corresponds with the timing of the financial statement audit, is report on HCC's compliance with the minimum servicing requirements, also known as the USAP report. the next page just provides you with a high-level overview of our audit plan and the timetable. We break down the audit into 4 phases: the planning and risk identification, which is what we do this time of year, September and October. Then the next phase is the strategy and risk assessment. And then we come back out in November, right after you close, and execute our year-end audit procedures. And then we'll be back here with you all, I guess, in January. We'll be issuing our report in January over all of those reports that I mentioned on the previous slide. So this time frame is consistent with the prior years, and it's a nice, healthy, you know, time frame from when you close your fiscal year end to when we issue the audit report. The next 2 pages really highlight the areas where we place our audit emphasis. The foundation of every audit is the assessment of internal controls. So we've listed in that first row the significant processes over HCC. They're consistent with the prior year. And then from there, we perform our account balance testing. So we look at cash and investments. We confirm the significant cash and investment balances. We look at the fair value and independently recalculate the fair value. Accounts receivables and allowances. We select mortgage loan balances to confirm. Capital assets, accounts payable, and OPEB, other post-employment benefit and pensions. Last year, you undertook the initiative to early adopt GASB 75, so most of the clients are going through that this year, but you got an early jump on that, so there are no new GASB pronouncements to implement this year. And we also look at the trusts, not that trust issues separate financial statements, but the assets that are within the trust, that gets included in HTC's financial statements, and the composition of the investments within a trust are disclosed in HTC's financial statements as well. The next page, debt, we confirm your outstanding debt balances due to the city. We test that, the payable to the mortgagors. I don't want to go through each one of these. They are consistent with the prior year. And based upon my conversations with Kathy, there are no new accounts from a testing perspective that I think would come into scope this year. Everything seems to be pretty consistent with the prior year. So sometimes that's good, because when you have a significant accounting pronouncement like the OPEB last year, it's a lot to do within 1 year. The next slide, page 7, this is just to highlight the fact that from the planning of the audit through the time that we issue, we keep the risk of fraud on top of mind. So to the extent that there are any fraud that is committed, we would, or identified through our testing, we report that to you, and we take that into our risk assessment process. We look at the governance of the audit committee and how you participate, the fact that you have an internal audit department. So those are good indicators to minimize the risk, but nonetheless, there's always collusion, and we perform certain procedures, and as we interact with the folks at the accounting level, we ask probing questions and just take a look for unusual journal entries that might, you know, raise our eyebrows to something that might be unusual. Page 9 is a summary of our required communications. So these are all the topics that we're required to report to the audit committee. So, and it's categorized as to whether it's communicated when the event occurs versus whether we communicate it at least on an annual basis. So the first row, the overview of our plan, scope, and timing of the audit. We're here today communicating that to the audit committee. For most of this, we'll be back for our audit results to communicate the audit results. But to the extent, again, fraud or significant difficulties encountered in dealing with management or material weaknesses, that's when we would want to communicate with the audit committee when we identify such. And then the next few slides are some of the updates to the GASB standards. Again, nothing here that will impact HTC this next year, but some things to keep in mind as you start thinking about fiscal 2019 and 20. So unless there's any questions on those, we'll probably be back here the next time talking about, you know, which ones might impact you more than some of the others. So that concludes my brief remarks on our audit plan, and we'd be happy to try and answer any questions you might have.
Yeah. My only question is on the GASB. Didn't affect us. Yeah. Any questions?
No.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The third quarter financial report.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm pleased to present the corporation's unaudited financial statements as of the first quarter of fiscal year 2018. This covers the period from November 1st, 2017 through July 31st, 2018. I'll just provide a brief update on the corporation's financial activities. Total revenues were $385.7 million, down from $407.9 million, a 5.4% decrease from a year ago. The main factor that caused revenues to decrease was that there were no grant revenues recognized from the Barry Park City Authority in fiscal year 2018, compared to $69.6 million a year ago. Management is currently in communications with the city to get a closer picture on this year's allocation. Operating revenues generated from interest on loans and related fees increased from $319.9 million to $354.3 million, a 10.7% increase. This was due to the mortgage loan portfolio balance increase from increase of $1.7 billion as a result of new mortgage closing and the securitization of a mortgage loan portfolio originated by the city with outstanding balances in excess of $600 million. Investment earnings also saw a significant increase from a year ago. Total investment earnings, including the fair market value adjustment, increased from $18.1 million to $33.7 million, an 85.6% increase. The $15.6 million increase was due to the growth in investment portfolio from $4.1 billion to $5.1 billion as a result of bond issuances, increases in HQ lending, and rising interest rates. Net income for the period decreased from $171 million a year ago to $109.2 million, mainly due to the aforementioned lack of non-operating grant income. In the first 9 months of the fiscal year, the corporation has made senior mortgage loan commitments, including preservation loans, in excess of $1 billion. Additionally, $292.6 million was committed for subsidy loans. New financing through the issuance of bonds, draws on debt obligations, and the sale of participating interest to the Federal Financing Bank raised $1.6 billion. Total assets at the end of the third quarter were $19.06 billion, an increase of $2.66 billion from fiscal year 2017, excuse me. Total liabilities were $16.3 billion, an increase of $2.49 billion from fiscal year 2017. AGC's net position at the end of the whole quarter was $2.76 billion. This concludes my remarks. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Thank you. That report on it.
Okay, thank you. Please note that there is a revised debt report memorandum in front of you. The corporation's debt report is as of July 31st, 2018. The last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of January 31st, 2018. During this time, the corporation issued 11 series of open resolution bonds totaling $974.1 million, one standalone series bonds totaling $72.2 million. Their bond redemption of 7 series of open resolution bonds totaling $75.3 million and one standalone series in the amount of $42.8 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of July 31st, 2018 is approximately $11.6 billion. The corporation's statutory debt capacity was recently increased from $12.5 billion to $13.5 billion. Any questions?
Our unsecured rating is it a single A?
Double A.
Okay. There are no other questions. And we'll have the investment report.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the corporation investment report is as of September 10th, 2018. Funds under management total approximately $5.1 billion. This reflects routine investment activity. As Mary pointed out in her report, over the past year, the corporation has increased its funds under management due to continued debt issuance and the fact that much of the HPD lending is facilitated now through HPC. In addition, overall investment rates have increased throughout 2018.
Questions? Okay, there being none, then we'll go to the credit risk exposure.
Thank you. The report before you is dated August 31st, 2018, and the last report presented was dated February 28, 2018. Since the last report, we added one new counterparty to our list, Sterling National Bank, a community bank based in Montebello, New York. Notably, Sterling recently completed its acquisition of Astoria Financial in October 2017. The bank has $30 billion in assets and $20 billion in deposits, and although it's not rated by Moody's or S&P, it does carry an A-minus rating from Kroll bond rating agency with a stable outlook. All investments with Sterling are fully collateralized by U.S. government and agency security. Since the last report, there were three credit rating agency actions of note. In April, S&P upgraded Santander Bank from BBB plus to A minus following the upgrade of sovereign rating for the country of Spain. Also in April, Moody's upgraded Société Générale from A2 to A1, citing capital enhancement initiatives at the bank. And finally, in June, S&P downgraded Deutsche Bank from A- to BBB+, citing significant execution risk associated with that bank's restructuring plan. Our counterparty exposure remains pretty well diversified, with our largest exposures continuing to be with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, primarily in the form of permanent enhancement and investments. Investments rated AA or higher were 52% of total investments versus 53% of the last report, and the weighted average rating was down slightly to 1.5 years from 1.8 years at the last report. And finally, our exposure to liquidity providers was approximately $157 million. Any questions?
No. Other than the Fed rating the rate today. Okay, internal audit reports.
Thank you. I think the last audit committee meeting remarked on the internal audit staff has completed 4 audit projects in the 2018 audit schedule. We currently performing to develop a disclosure and investment review. Included in your package today are the reports on the results of construction loan monitoring review, accounts receivable review, and a prior year's review, low income housing tax credit, LIHTC, compliance monitoring review. I'll briefly summarize the results of each audit. The objectives of the LIHTC compliance monitoring review were to determine whether owners were notified timely of deadlines, track for compliance, and if projects found with non-compliance issues were reported in accordance with the IRS MOU compliance monitoring requirements. To determine whether the LIHTC project building units were inspected according to reporting requirements, and to determine whether the LIHTC monitoring fees were accurately calculated, billed, and collected. The audit focused on compliance group monitoring activities from January 1st, 2014 to March 1st, 2017, covering three-year compliance period from January 1st, 2013 to December 2015. We noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered material weaknesses. We verified that the compliance group generally monitors owners' compliance to the LIHTC program requirements by reviewing the submitted annual certification, performing the on-site audits of collective tenant files, and conducting unit inspections. In regards to our recommendation to assist management in improving operations, management has taken action to address our interpreting our recommendations to improve the timeliness of notification to the LIHTC owners managing agents regarding compliance needs and documentation requirements, issuance of the annual owner's certification review letters, audit reports, and unit inspection results, and the billing of the LIHTC monitoring team. In the construction loan monitoring review, the objectives were to determine compliance of the HDC construction loan monitoring guidelines, specifically to ensure that the engineers perform site visits to verify work was completed for which payment was requested, whether payment requests were verified and reviewed for accuracy, whether the application and certification for payment forms had the appropriate signatures, whether the lien waivers were received or accurate in time, and to ensure that the change orders were reviewed and signed by the appropriate party. Our audit scope covered the period of September 2017 to February 2018. There were no significant issues. Based on our review of the documentation, we determined that the engineers performed the site visit to verify that work was completed before the payment request was approved. Payment requests were reviewed for accuracy, the application and certification for payment had the appropriate signatures. The lien waivers were received, were accurate and signed, and the change order request forms had the appropriate signatures. Management took action to address our recommendation to make the format of the payment request memo and the information it contained more consistent of according to guidelines provided by internal audit. In the accounts receivable review, the objectives were to determine whether adequate controls exist over the AR receivable function to ensure the receipts were properly processed, reconciled, and accurately recorded, and to determine if unapplied receipts were reviewed and monitored. The audited receipts processed in AR for the month of October 2017. There were no issues. The accounts receivable transactions were properly processed in accordance with the procedures. And with respect to the specific audit results, we found that the receipts collected for review were accurately processed. The unapplied receipts were reviewed and monitored on a regular basis, and the receipts were accurately recorded in AR. Further details regarding our recommendations, management actions to address them are fully described in reports before you. If you have any questions, that concludes my report.
Yeah, are there any questions on the audit report? Any other business? Okay, there being none, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn and this traveling caravan will move to the next room. Second. Okay. Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.